Let's turn to Galatians 3:13, if you would. And I read Sunday, as you're turning there, I read from Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission or forgiveness. And it goes on that we're justified in Romans 3:24. We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So if we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, let's look at this. We're redeemed, but look at what Galatians 3:13 says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ's, are we Christ's? Yes, Lord. Then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And let me read the Amplified. It says, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law, and its condemnation, by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the Scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, is crucified, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And if you belong to Christ, are in him who is Abraham's seed, then you're Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to the promise. So we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So now let's, as we did Sunday, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 28. And we're looking at, as we call it, the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. In Deuteronomy 28, and of course the first 14 verses talk about the blessings, and thank God we haven't been redeemed from those. Now we have a better covenant established on better promises, but these blessings are still ours. Hallelujah. And starting, I want to look at verse 15. We're talking about lack or poverty this evening, being redeemed from the curse of poverty. When we look at verses 15, 16, and 17, it kind of reflects on that or talks about it. It says, but it shall come to pass, if thou shalt will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Remember, we're redeemed from the curse of the law, so we're not being overtaken by any curses. But this is talking about God's children at that time. And if they didn't obey the commandments, then they were subject to this, and observing to do all that he had commanded. Verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Verse 17, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. And look, jump down to verse 38, because some of the other things talk about other curses, but verse 38, it says, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them. but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. Verse 40, thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. And then look at verse 42, all thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. So when things like that are taken away, what was that? That was their livelihood. And so that affected what? Money. They traded, or they bartered, or they got money for what they produced. And like I said, their storehouses were affected. So the curse then affected them in a way that caused them to be impoverished. So really, when you look at the curse of the law, it affected them in a material way, and it also affected them in a physical way, in sickness. You can see that from the curses of the law. So the curse of poverty was to come upon God's children if they disobeyed him, if they failed to observe, to do what? To do all of his commandments and statutes, then they would experience the curse. And that's really what this is saying here. When you go back, if you don't hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do what? All his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So what you have is, again, let's turn to 1 Timothy 4:8, if you would. I'm going to look at a few scriptures in the New Testament. 1 Timothy, and some, I'm not saying you, definitely not you, because you're well taught through the years, but you may be in a situation where somebody makes some kind of a statement that says, well, the blessings of God are not for today. You know, we're to be humble. Now, you know that's not true. But where in the scripture does it talk about these things that we're to be blessed today? Not just Galatians 3:13, but we're going to look at some scriptures in the New Testament to kind of solidify that, right? 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that what? Now is. Say that again.
Now is.
Not in the sweet by and by. It says godliness is profitable, what? Unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou what? Mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I like the Message translation. It says, we're the best of friends, and I pray for good fortune in everything you do and for your good health, that your everyday affairs do what? Prosper as well as your soul. And the Weymouth translation says, my dear friend, I pray that you may in all respects prosper. That would be spirit, soul, and body. That means in your bank accounts. That means everything you set your hands to, you prosper. And enjoy good health, just as your soul already prospers. Now let's turn over to a familiar scripture in Philippians 4:19. And Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. And if you look at this, he's talking about when he says, you know, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. If you back up to verse 15, you can see what he's talking about. He's talking about money. He says in verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning what? Giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto what? My necessity. He's talking about meeting his needs. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In the Amplified, it says, and my God will liberally supply, I like this, fill to the full your every need. Hallelujah. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In the New Living, it says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, yes, God may send you somewhere and he may have you walk through some things, but he's still going to meet your needs. He's still going to fill you to the full. That's where when Paul says, what did he say? He said, not that I desire a gift. He says, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and sacrifice. So his need was met. That means there was food on the table, clothes on his back, something that met his need, right? And that's the same for every one of us. God may lead you somewhere. He may take you out of one setting in a different setting. But your needs are still going to be met. They're going to be met to the full. Hallelujah. So he's talking about here financial and material things. Let's look at Matthew 6. All these are scriptures that we sometimes use for the ministry of giving. But Matthew 6, and let's look at, back up to verse 30 in Matthew 6. It says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, or you, O ye of little faith? Shall he not much more clothe you? Absolutely. 31, therefore take no thought, doing what? Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He's talking about meeting our needs here, not just spiritual, our everyday needs. What we eat, what we're clothed with, where we live. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth. I like this. You're not bringing him something he doesn't already know. He already knows it. That's why we don't need to beg God. He already knows it. He said, O ye of what? Little faith. He said, he already knows it. So what does he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't this interesting? It says added. It doesn't say taken from you. So when we seek God, things are what? Added. Added, not taken from us. If something's taken, it's not from God. It's not from God. It's added. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we can see here that the main thing is we're to do what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It didn't say seek only the kingdom of God. It said seek ye first. Let's go over to Luke chapter 6. And let's look at verse 38. We're letting Scripture interpret Scripture. In the King James Version, it says, "Give, and it shall be," not might be, "it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men," see, "shall men, give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And of course, there's other scriptures we can look at. "He that soweth sparingly shall" what? "Reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So this is what it's saying here. With the same measure that you meet, if you're a stingy sower, you get a stingy harvest. Or you could say in Spanish, piquito. Piquito, you get piquito harvest. You do grande, you get grande harvest, right? Big harvest. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It's good to, you know, this is where we live. You know, we live in this earth realm. We live, you know, as I like to hear other ministers say, you know, we live in this cursed world. You know, as some have said, this Babylonian type system. And but we're not subject to it. We're not subject to this world system. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're God's children. We're his sons and daughters. And we are blessed of him. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he" what? "That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Gee, is that possible? Is that possible? It says here that through his poverty we might be rich. I think it's God's intention that he said here he's going to make us rich. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that God shall make us rich? Yes. Let me ask another question. So you got that? You're good. It's A class here. God, you just read it. It says here, he gonna make us rich. So the answer is right there in the book. It's an open book test, right? But does it say he's gonna make us all millionaires? No, he doesn't say that. So he says he's gonna make us all rich. Don't connect the dots. So you don't try to say, well, God's gonna make us all millionaires. He didn't say that. He said he's going to make you rich. Now, the thing is, what does that word mean, rich? Well, rich, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it says rich means to be rich. It means to have abundance. It means of outward possessions, to be richly supplied. It means to be increased with goods. That's what I'm talking about. When you're blessed, your bank account's full. Your cupboards are full. You're blessed with possessions. Let me ask a question. Did God promise Abraham to be blessed and rich? Oh, yes. And did he do it?
Yes,
he did. Whose seed are you? And he said, "If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed." So that means we're to be blessed and richly supplied like him. And we've got a what? A better covenant. We have a better covenant. A dictionary definition of rich means full supply, abundantly provided for. That's what that means. That means I'm abundantly provided for. Now, if something's not happening or working where that's not evident, then we need to examine that. We need to explore that. We need to say, okay, why is that? See, because I'll tell you, I remember, you know, I think I've shared this story a few times, that when I was a young Christian, I guess I could say I was like what Dr. Hutton, Larry Hutton would say, I was a dropper. You know what I mean by that? I take my offering, drop it in the bucket, and I did. I was dutifully would bring my tithe in, but I didn't speak over it, and I didn't expect a return, so I wasn't walking in faith. I was just bringing my tithe into the storehouse, that there would be meat in the house, right? But I was not decreeing over my tithe. I wasn't speaking over it. So this, I never voiced it to the Lord. But you know how you think about something? You say, why am I not experiencing the blessings? Why am I not experiencing the full supply? Why am I not experiencing that? I'm thinking it. I never said it. I'm thinking it. Never said it to anybody. I'm pondering it. I'm wondering, why is this? And I'm not talking about for a month. This went on for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. I'm thinking, something's off. I'm not connecting. Something's not right here. Because I was speaking the word of God. I didn't see the connection. I didn't. I didn't have the rhema. I didn't see it in the word. I saw it concerning health and healing. I spoke words over my body. I began to work the word in the area of healing, and I would speak it, and I would take it, and I would demand that my body respond. And I took the word of God like a sword, and I worked it, and I got results. But I never saw the connection between doing that and finances. I never saw it until one day. I've told this story. I was home and I had a very high fever, and I was home in bed, and I didn't feel good in the natural. And I'm speaking words over my body. I'm confessing the word of God. And I decided, it wasn't the Holy Ghost, I decided to start to laugh. And I began to laugh, ha, 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 ha. And I began to laugh for like that for about 15, 20 minutes, ha, 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 at the sickness. I just laughed at it. And then all of a sudden, a little wheel start, just, you know, talk about a little wheel, just that the anointing began to stir down here. And I started going, And I'm laughing. Now I started to laugh a little harder. And a little stronger. And that stirred me more. And I began to laugh so hard, I was in a full holler laugh. I mean, a full laugh. And I couldn't stop. And the presence of God just hit me. And then all of a sudden, it subsided. And I'm just laying in bed quiet. And the Holy Ghost started to speak to me, just as clear as I'm talking right now. And you know how the Holy Ghost is, he will begin to reveal and show you some things. And so he began to show me some things not about my body. He started talking to me about my finances. Ah, boy, I'll tell you, God is good. And he started to talk to me about my finances because he lives in you and he knows what you're thinking about. And this is what he said. Just like this, just as clear and quick, he said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Just like that. And I went, oh, I see it. And I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing the word in my finances just exactly. He knew exactly. You know how when the Holy Ghost hits something, it's like a razor. It's like a laser beam. He shows you exactly, and you know what he's talking about. He said, you're not doing this over here just like you're doing over here, and you're getting results over here. If you do the same thing over here, you won't have room enough to contain all the blessings. And boy, I'm telling you, I hooked up on that and started speaking over my financial things that I put into the ministry and sowed and sowed, and I began to speak and speak and speak and speak. And so those things began to little by little, began to change in my life. And so that's why I say sometimes there can be a disconnect somewhere. And we're not doing something because God said here, he's going to make you rich. He's going to make you full supply and abundant. He said so. But we may not be doing something that allows him to do what? Activate that and energize it in your life. That's exactly what we read a few weeks ago when we were talking about our identification with Christ and this talking about activating in Philemon, verse 6, when it talks about that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That word effectual means energeo. That means it means to become energized and activated. So when I communicate my faith in the Word of God concerning my finances, it activates the Word of God. Remember, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God has the power in it to fulfill what it says. What does God say? What does he say in Isaiah? He says, for as the rain cometh down, this is Isaiah 55 and verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Oh, yes. But I've got to, you know, it won't return void, but I've got to energize it and activate it in my life. I've got to release faith-filled words. What is that? I've got to release the power of God in my words. Faith in God's word releases the power in it to do it. Oh, yes. So for us, it's, you know, again, just looking at this, I'm not saying everybody's in that situation, but if we're not seeing the fullness, we may have reached, even in all of our lives, we may have reached a certain level, but God is saying he wants to make us rich, fully abundant, full supply. That means there's more. There's more to be received from God. What? To make us something? No, so that we can be a blessing. So, like Abraham, so that we can bless others and be in a position to bless and help. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That's my desire. That's my faith, is to be in a position to help. Amen. To be a blessing to people. Amen. Amen. And ministry, so that they can do things. Amen. So Abraham's blessings are ours. How? Through Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Let me read something. You can get his story. There's a couple of individuals that I find fascinating. But one I find really fascinating is anybody ever hear of Letourneau? Okay, we're getting a blank, so nobody knows. Okay, there's Letourneau University, and R.G. Letourneau was a Christian inventor. I forget he was right around the turn of the century. But let me just read some little highlights of his life. He was a Christian businessman, and it says here he's perhaps the most inspiring Christian inventor, businessman and entrepreneur the world has ever seen. A sixth grade dropout, Robert Gilmore Letourneau, Letournau. You can look it up on the internet. You can get all of his, you know, information about it. He went on to become the leading earth-moving machinery manufacturer of his day with plants on four continents. More than 300 patents to his name, and major contributions to road construction, heavy equipment that forever changed the world. Most importantly, his contribution to the advancement of the gospel ranks him among the greatest Christian businessmen of all time. Now listen to this. Famous for living on 10% of his income and giving 90% to the spread of the gospel, Letourneau exemplified what a Christian businessman should be. R.G. Letourneau dropped out of school and began working in an iron foundry at age 14. In the year 1901, so you can just picture this, right? This is not slim pickings back then, right? So numerous tradesmen later, he discovered a passion for machinery, initially as an auto mechanic and later as a manufacturer of the largest earth-moving equipment on the planet. At the age of 28, he returned from a period with the Navy serving our country in World War I to a car dealership of which he was half owner that was steeped in debt due to a partner who took to drinking. Letourneau removed himself from the business with $5,000 in debt. The year was 1915. Now you can just figure $5,000 then was a whole lot of money in 1915. That would have been curtains for most folks. It says, jobless and beyond broke, he jumped at the opportunity to level some land for a wealthy rancher. R.G. claimed that this experience was the most satisfying job he ever held. The year was 1919, and as a Christian, he felt the tug to be doing more for God. He went to his pastor, this is interesting, Reverend DeVol, for advice. R.G. thought that anyone who was wholly committed to Christ had to become a pastor or a missionary to truly fulfill the Great Commission. Isn't that interesting? After deep prayer with his pastor, R.G. Letourneau was shocked to hear his pastor say the words that guided him for the rest of his life. God needs businessmen too. Isn't that wise and wisdom from a pastor? This was revelation to R.G. Letourneau. He immediately began to consider his business to be in partnership with God. And so, you know, again, it's a real long story, but it says in 1932, his net profit was $52,000. 1934, his net profit was $340,000. In 1938, his net profit was $412,465. So you can see this man here. Now, what you read about this, what's remarkable, was that he was uneducated. He never went to school. He was a dropout in the sixth grade. He was an uneducated businessman that got into partnership with who? With God. And so when you start reading this, he said here, in 1935, with the gigantic profits pouring out of the manufacturing business, at the gentle suggestion of his wife, Evelyn, they transitioned to a 90-10 split with the Lord. 90% went to the Lord, 10% went to R.G. and Evelyn. Letourneau was fond of remarking, It's not how much of my money I give to God, but how much of God's money I keep for myself. With the money, they established the Letourneau Foundation to manage the administration of donations. Huh. They needed a foundation to administrate the money that was coming in. He was uneducated. By 1959, after giving $10 million in donations to religious and educational works, Letourneau Foundation was still worth some $40 million. So God needs business people. He doesn't need everybody behind a pulpit, but what he does need is he needs business people that are in partnership with God. And God is designed, I mean, he's saying in his word here, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Fully supplied, abundant, fully provided for. And so this is not, you know, I don't want to say this is not a fairy tale. This is the word of God. This is the will of God. This is our better covenant, established and certified by the what? The blood of Jesus. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus from the curse of the law, the curse of poverty, the curse of not being fully supplied and abundant. And so what it means is we've just got to make a decision that that's mine. I'm taking it. And it's mine to take. Why? Because I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And it's God's intention to make me rich. And to be a blessing. Amen. And people may look at you and think you're funny. And when you read, if you read a little more about Letourneau's life, he built a chapel in his businesses, and he had a minister on staff to teach in his employees. That's what he did. I mean, he was committed. I mean, his story is fascinating. I mean, if you've ever seen these big earth-moving equipment, I saw it as a kid, that they've got this big kind of tractor on the front, and in the back, it scoops up dirt, and you see them. They call them earth-moving equipment. He was the inventor. He had over 300 patents. Who gave him that witty invention, those ideas? God did. And he was uneducated. Huh. Isn't that something? And when you read some of his stuff, he says, you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Hallelujah. So I know me, I'm taking it. I'm receiving the blessings, and I'm going to do what? Activate it with my mouth. And that means we're not to live on a limited income. We may be, but that doesn't determine God's word. God's word is what? Forever settled in heaven. And as far as I'm concerned, yeah, you may have a paycheck that limits you what you can do, but you're not limited. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so you need to start activating and say, Lord, I bless this check that I'm receiving, and I call in finances. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully. Be led as to how you sow. Amen. God's trying to bring up the sights of people that they're not limited. Don't be, what's the word I want to use? Don't fall into this listening to your mind and your thoughts. I can't do this. I can't do this. Speak the word of God. The word of God will change your circumstances. Amen. Little by little, little by little. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that the blood of Jesus, this great sacrifice, has paid for the sin and sickness of every man. And that includes us here. And we receive the redemption that's afforded us. And Father, we receive the benefits and the blessings. And thank you that you being made poor so that we might be made rich. Father, we receive that. We speak it into our lives. We thank you that the seeds, the financial seeds that we've sown, will produce an abundant harvest. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.